Very thankful for this precious opportunity to meet together in the house of the Lord. It's good to see each one of you. We enjoyed the song service. Very much appreciate the prayer that's been offered by Brother Ted and also Brother Kim. We'd ask that each one of you would pray for us during this time we stand before you. And most of all, we hope we have the manifest presence of the Lord here with us. And He would be willing to be merciful to provide His help as we stand before you in expectation, hope of glorifying Him and also edifying the precious children of God that are gathered together. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I trust that you do. The house of God's a good place to bring your Bible. Turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. We're going to begin this morning by reading the first eight verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, because I'd like for you to consider death from a different perspective. Solomon writes by inspiration of the Spirit, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets." Or, "Ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity." You know, the phrase there in verse 8, vanity of vanities, all this vanity is repeated through the book Ecclesiastes. There's another phrase that's repeated. It's the phrase under the sun. As Solomon would write here in the book Ecclesiastes, and I'm still confident that he's probably giving this directly to Rehoboam, his son, hoping in giving him the wisdom that the Lord had blessed him to obtain in his life. He's telling him much about what's seen, what's viewed under the sun or on this earth. You know, for us who live under the sun on this earth, we see life. We see children that are born. They grow up in an instant. And then folks grow old. And then we see death, and we visit the funeral home. But there's something about that that we don't see. It's beyond our vision. And Solomon here in this chapter not only directs Rehoboam's mind to what he could see under the sun, but also gives him a different perspective of life on this earth and death and what it is. Verse 1, he says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. What is Solomon saying there? Solomon is saying, look, young man, remember the Lord and the things of God now before you get older and life becomes tougher for you. That's the evil days, when life becomes tougher for you. I've said this many times about growing older. It's not that my memory has gotten less. It's I got more to think about than I did when I was younger. You ever thought about it from that perspective? Yeah, I remember when I was in school and I moved off from home, from mom and daddy, how life kind of set in on me. And I was like, wow, there's a lot to keep up with here. You know, when I lived at home, I just got up in the morning, eat my sausage and ham biscuit that mom would have for me on the stove, and sometimes she'd have me some eggs, and I'd get in my truck, and all I had to do is just keep gas in my truck and give daddy money for my insurance. He took care of that. I'd go to school and come home, but then I moved out from home, and I found out there's a lot to keep up with in a household. You know, I started forgetting a lot of things. And I thought, you know, daddy's got a lot to keep up with. No wonder he forgets things. And as we get older, it's difficult to remember everything, right? Because we have so much to keep up with. If you ever thought about a computer, the more you put on a computer, the slower it gets. That's the way the human mind is sometimes. The more it has to remember, the more difficult it is to remember. He said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And every young person in the house of God should keep this in mind. Use your young mind that can be focused on the Lord. Use it today to give it to God in His Word. Do you realize memorizing Scripture right now will stay with you the rest of your life? There's things that I read in the Bible when I was a teenager that I remember today, but there's things that I read last week I couldn't quote to save my life. But we should use our young mind. You may say, Brother Ronnie, I don't have a young mind anymore. Look, I'm already older. Do you realize the young mind that you have is the one you have today? Because tomorrow your mind's going to be younger. So not only does that fit the context for a young person on the pew, but every person on the pew, because the youngest mind that you have is the mind you have right now to go forward. Use what you've got right now. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before life gets difficult, before things become tough for you to focus and to give your mind to. In verse 2, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. You know, I remember growing up in mom and daddy's house and liked to play outside. You know, I think that's what's wrong with a lot of kids today. They spend too much time indoors and not enough time outdoors. You know, I was raised in a house, I think mom and daddy's house was 1,100 square feet. And I mean, you had mama and daddy and me and David in 1,100 square foot house. And mama sometimes would say, you know, I think we need more room, Marvin. Daddy said, if we need more room than this, we need to move outside. Spending too much time inside. But you know, when it would rain outside, you couldn't go outside. It was a rainy day. And spend inside. It'd be what we call it, a gloomy, rainy day. I can't go outside. I remember growing up, Mama always liked to cook chitlins on when it was raining. I told Mama, I said, why do you cook those when it's raining when I can't go outside to get away from the smell? It made it even worse for me. Made it a double gloomy day. When Solomon says here, the sun and light, or the moon and the stars be not darkened, that's being hid from the clouds. What he's saying is when you're young, you have a lot of sunny days, happy days. Yeah. Somebody says he's footloose and fancy free, just living life. But as you get older, those days are few and far between, right? You start having more rainy days in your life. You ever visit someone at the nursing home? Talk to them, it's like every day was a rainy day for them. Every day is a rainy day when you get older. The difficult times begin to set in. Solomon says, remember your Creator before those difficult times, those gloomy, rainy days set in. And when they set in that day, the keepers of the house shall tremble. My mom's dad, his name was Grover Murphy. Everybody called him Super Murphy. I remember going to Papa's house when he got older. And every morning he got up, he'd drink his coffee. I remember him picking up the cup of coffee and his hand would shake so much he'd spill more coffee on the table in his lap than he'd actually get in his mouth. Shaking. I asked my mom, I said, did he always shake like that? She said, no, just kind of started as he got older. I watched other people as they grew older, their hands would shake. Sometimes I visit someone's house, I see them shaking. The keepers of the house begin to tremble. Those difficult times, they set in, and sometimes hard to get your hands still to hold on to something. I remember Sister Beulah Robinson, who was a member there at Mount Pierre and Primitive Baptist Church. She had been a member there since 1938. Her dad was a former pastor. She had Parkinson's. Sometimes she'd shake my hand. She'd have to hold her arm with her other hand to hold still to shake my hand. Solomon would go on, in those times the strong men shall bow themselves. You ever saw someone that stood tall and upright, and as they grew older they begin to bow over? You know, gravity has an effect. The gravity of this world has its effect on our bodies as they wear. Had a man tell me once, he was playing with his grandkids. He was playing cowboys and Indians. One of the little grandkids said, shoot Papa in his turkey parts. He said, what is my turkey parts? They said, this is just down here. Grandpa's turkey parts. He said he looked in the mirror and said, he did have turkey parts. He said, gravity had taken its effect on me. Someone grows older, gravity of this world and their body breaking down, it begins to have the effect and they begin to bow over. My grandmother, Susie Murphy, she was never a tall lady. But before death, I mean, she could just barely come to my chest because she couldn't raise it straight. And the grinders cease because they are few. Grinders here referencing the teeth. Our teeth, as we get older, begin to fall apart. Fall out. I remember my dad, as he got older, he got to a point he lost all his teeth. He had dentures. And Daddy was in the pulpit preaching when he first got those dentures. He was getting used to them. He got excited and he almost spit the dentures out on the people in the front pew. I saw a guy put his hands up and I said, that scared you, didn't it? our teeth wear out. You know, I'm only 50 years old. I don't consider myself an old man. But even my teeth are wearing out. I was at the dentist a couple weeks ago and I had a feeling and they numbed my whole mouth. Have you ever heard a preacher trying to preach to folks in a dentist's office with a numb mouth? Boy, it was... I was trying to invite them to church, tell them about the truth. And I'm hoping it sounded okay. Those that look out the windows be darkened. That's our vision beginning to dim. Got cataract surgery. Jennifer's mom's got cataract surgery planned. And poor little Hazel's got where she can't see pictures. You know, I'm at 50 years old. I've got where I can't see good out of my right eye. Jennifer worries about me driving at night. What about someone who had cataracts and their eyes be so dark they couldn't even see out the windows? Some evil days, isn't it? People at one time could look out the window of their home and look at God's blue sky and the trees and the birds, and they get where they can't see. Verse 4, and the doors shall be shut in the streets. I remember when I was in school there near Tech, and I was about ready to graduate. Delta Airlines, they sent a representative there to school, and Wrigley's Chewing Gum Factory did, a couple other companies. And yeah, I didn't know I was wanted so much. I mean, I had all kinds of opportunities for jobs. But I was in my 20s, just graduating school, and you know, that school was putting a guarantee on me. And they said, you know, if he can't do what you need him to do, we'll put him right back through the program. They were all wanting to hire me. I think if I started applying for those jobs today, at 50 years old, they'd be as excited. Probably don't have as many opportunities today as I did when I was 20, 25. See, everybody wants to hire a young man when they know they got 30 or 40 years ahead of them. What about a man 50 years old? How about it, brothers, if you start applying for jobs today? I'm talking about these brothers. Start applying for jobs today. Do you think they'd be as excited to hire you today as they would when you was 20, 25? The doors begin to shut in the streets. Begin to look for opportunities and open doors, and they're not there. When the sound of the grinding is low, this grinding here is making reference to work and activity. You've heard anybody say, I got back from work, I've been at the grind all day, been grinding at the mill, I've been working. Someone gets older, there's just not as much going on in their life, is there? You go to their house when they're younger and they've got something going on, you hear some hammering in the back and driving in some nails and something going on. As they get older, there's not as much work going on. If anything goes on, you usually call somebody to do it when you get older, right? Just not able to do what I... And that grinding is low, not as much work going on. Samson, I remember the Bible teaches us that they put him to the grinder and he's grinding the meal, he was working. But as folks grow older, you go to their house, there's just not much going on. It's just there at the house. I remember my Papa Murphy, I'd go see him. He walked through the foyer of the house and the kitchen. And in the living room, he had a chair right there. Every time I'd go see him, he's there sitting in that chair. I said, Papa, what are you going to do today? He said, well, I'm just going to sit here. He'd sleep for a while, wake up, somebody come see him. There's not a lot going on. Sometimes I'd go there and he'd still have a stocking cap on. I'd say, Papa, you got the stocking cap on. You been outside? No, he said, I just wear that when I sleep, keep my head warm, he'd say. Just didn't have enough to do to remember to take off his stocking cap that he slept with. Just there in that chair. I remember going to see my daddy, and he had a chair he sat in. Just not a lot going on. He's just wanted to sit there. I talked to him for a while, and I remember going to daddy's and sitting with him one day and talking with him. He forgot who I was. He had asked me to read some scripture to him, and I started reading. He forgot who I was, and he stopped me. He said, look here, son. He said, it's obvious you've read the Bible a lot. He said, but you've got to be the most long-winded preacher I've ever heard in my life. He said, you got to back it off. You expect people to come to this prayer meeting. And I got up and left, and I come back. He's still sitting in the chair, and he remembered me then. He said, you know, I was listening to a guy trying to preach the other day. Boy, he just kept going and kept going. I had to straighten him out. Just wasn't a lot going on. And he shall rise up at the voice of a bird. It's kind of early in the morning, don't you think? How about it, kids? Do you ever think I'll be glad when I get out of school or I can sleep late in the morning? Brother Cole, you ever hear your kids say that? I'll be glad when I get out of school or I can sleep late in the morning. You ever said, well, when you get out of school, you're going to have to get a job. You're still going to have to get up early in the morning, probably earlier than what you're getting up now. Then you're on the job, and you have to work that old day shift job, get up in the morning, you think, I'll be glad when I get ready to retire, or I don't have to get up early in the morning, I can sleep late. Then as you get older, you know, you just can't lay in the bed long. My Papa Ben, I would say he had probably the most outstanding personality of any man I've ever met. I'd go out there, and he'd already be up early in the morning. I said, Ben, you got up early this morning? He said, yeah. He said, my bones is hurting in the bed. Just couldn't stay in the bed. Get up early at the sound of a bird. Can't sleep. There's a time when you could sleep and you wanted to sleep. Now you have a time when you get older and you could sleep, but you can't sleep because the bed wears you out. And the daughters of music shall be brought low. In one sense, this is referencing the hearing. People can't hear as good as they once did as they grow older. Sometimes you visit someone that can't hear, you have to get the volume up to get them to hear what you're saying. Very thankful for hearing aids. You know, my mom's got hearing aids now. Boy, I am happy because now my kids can watch TV when I'm talking to her on the phone. I used to have to hold the phone up and say things three times, and I kept telling her, Mom, you need to get hearing aids. She didn't want to do it, but she finally got hearing aids, and now she can hear me talking to her on the phone. But in another sense, this is making reference to, as you grow older, you don't want much noise going on. As you grow older, do you want as much racket going on in your house? Or do you want some just peace and quiet time? I remember during Christmas time, Mom and Daddy's house, you know, we'd all pile up in there and all the grandkids would be there and Mom would have the lights on the tree there. And of course, Daddy's fussing about the Christmas tree. Mom would light the Christmas tree, Daddy didn't. All the lights on. Everybody started leaving. Daddy said, I tell you what, the prettiest Christmas lights I've saw is the taillights of these cars leaving with all them kids making the racket. Didn't want much racket around the house. Get a lot of racket going on, give you a nervous breakdown. Sound of music's brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high. As you get older, climbing up a ladder becomes a little more fearful. I mean, even at my age, being on top of a house bothers me more than it used to. You don't want to climb up and get high, do you? Fear shall be in the way. You worry more about what's in front of you. You know, when you're young, you got a lot of blind courage. You're just ready to go forward. But as you get older, you worry about what's in front of you. Am I going to be able to handle this? The almond tree shall flourish. You know, the almonds blooms white. The hair becomes gray. Blossoming and blooming, the grasshopper shall be a burden. The small things become a burden and aggravation. I remember I'd go out to Ben's house and he's worried about them worms eating up his crop. He said, I couldn't even sleep last night worrying about it. Bunk, we got to get some spray on them, that garden. Small things begin to bother him more. And desire shall fail. Just get where you don't want to do nothing. Just tired. My grandpa used to say, I'm just tired of being tired. I'm tired so much. I'm tired of being tired. You know, my grandpa Ben, he used to take us fishing. We'd fish, and man, we'd fish all day. And sometimes we'd do good, sometimes we wouldn't. I remember one time we was going out. We got out there to where Loudermilk Road run into the other road. And he said, you know, he said, this morning, Bunk, he said, somebody should just met us out here and just give us a whooping, told us to go back home. He said, because we didn't catch anything all day. I said, we'd probably fought to the end, Papa. He said, yeah, we probably would have. He said, we'd have fought just to go fishing, wouldn't we? You know, as he grew older, I'd go by and have my boat hitched up. I say, hey, Ben, come on, let's go fishing. Don't feel like going today, Bunk. He said, maybe next time. I'd stop by and say, hey, I'm going to go rabbit hunting. You want to go with me, Ben? He'd say, maybe next time, Bunk. He said, I just don't feel like going today. Hey, Papa, I got some corn down here. I want to, well, maybe next time. I just don't feel like doing it today. Remember going by and visiting with Brother Carroll and Sister Libby. Sister Libby could tell you, I always would tell Brother Carroll, I got some corn on the cut, Brother Carroll. Can you come help me? Brother Carroll, he finally got ready to tell me, looks like he's going to have to cut it by himself this time. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Man gets older. If the Lord doesn't come back, he'll die. But man goes to his long home, still the mourners go about the streets. I was at the funeral yesterday for Brother Milton. Brother Larry reminded us about him going home. And as the family walked out, I saw Sister Magdalene. She was crying. I thought about the mourners that go about the streets. Brother Milton's not mourning, but the family was. If you've been driving down the road and you see the hearse come, the funeral, they all got their lights on, their flashers, and you'll pull over and you'll look. You see all the tears and eyes. The mourners are going about the way. The person in the hearse, the body, they've gone to their long home. So in verse 6, Solomon begins that verse with the word or. Sometimes small words in the Bible are important to pay attention to. And what Solomon's going to tell us here in verse 6 and 7 is not for the person that goes to his long home. That person that's went to his long home doesn't need us at all, does he? He's at home. He's with the Lord. But the mourners, they go about the streets. They're mourning because they're lost. They need to be comforted and helped. He said, so Rehoboam, think about it like this. Or. Let me give you a different way to look at this. Under the sun, we see a man. He's young. Needs to remember his creator. He grows old and we see him start to tremble. See his desire fail. Things scare him more, but it looks so sad. It just breaks your heart. He said, let me give you a different way to look at this. Or the silver cord be loosed. When Solomon refers to the silver cord, he's referring to the silver cord of redemption, of God's love, that has the soul and spirit tied to the body. Do you realize man was made different than the rest of creation? Man is made in the image of God. Man was made soul, body, and spirit, and man was not made to cease like a tree falls over and dies. When I look at you this morning, I see you, but there's three of you. And all three of those are still you. You know, you have a soul, and that soul is you. That soul is not someone else, it's you. You have a spirit, and that spirit is you. You have a body, and that body is you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, the Apostle Paul makes reference to the soul, body, and spirit. Man is a trichotomy. He's three, but he's one, made in the image of God. And man grows older and he dies and goes to his long home, but we see the body. And when we see that body in the coffin, we see the body that's put in the ground. That's that person, but there's more to that person than just that body. There's a soul, and there's a spirit, and it's still that person. And that soul and that spirit in death as they grow older is not there. The body's there, and that body is them. But the soul and spirit is not there. And there's a silver cord that ties the soul and spirit to the body that's loosed. And when it's loosed, the soul and spirit in death goes to that long home. Not in a week, not in a month, not in a year, but instantly it's there. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. See, the soul and spirit of our dear brothers and sisters that pass from this life to be with the Lord, they're instantly in the presence of God, and the silver cord is loose. But notice that text does not say the silver cord was broken. Woo, I love that, don't you? The silver cord was not broken. The silver cord is just loosed. Why? Because the Lord that made man one day will put that soul and spirit back with the body. Do you realize when the Lord comes back, and I prayed this week that Jesus would come back before my precious friend passed this life, but it was not His will. But when the Lord comes back, and you would say, why do you believe He's coming back? Because He said He was. That's enough for me. He's going to bring the souls and spirits of those that have passed with Him in the clouds, not to come back on earth, but in the clouds. And when He raises the bodies of those people, same person, out of the ground and glorifies the body, that body will be joined back with that soul and spirit. You remember the Bible says Jesus comes in the clouds. You know what the clouds are? It's the souls and spirits of the children of God that are there with Him right now. Have you ever noticed in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, when the Apostle Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope? For if we believe that Jesus both died and rose again, even though them also which sleep in Christ will God bring with Him. Did you notice that? What's asleep? The body's asleep. The soul and spirit's going to be brought back with the Lord. And you know what we'll do if we're alive and remain? We'll look up and we'll see the clouds, the soul and the spirit of all the children of God that are there with Him in glory. And then we'll look and see the bodies arise, and we'll be joined up with them in the clouds. And the Bible said, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You remember there in Revelation chapter 20? When the Apostle John talks about those that were dead in Christ, he said, I looked and I saw the souls of them that had been beheaded. He didn't see their bodies. He saw their souls with the Lord in glory. Now, don't you know that was a comfort to the people that's been persecuted? When he looked, he was able to see the souls of those children of God there in glory with the Lord. And he said, and the rest of the dead live not again till that 1,000 years, which is a period of time from the ascension of Christ until His second coming, till that was finished. The rest of the dead. What is the rest of the dead? The rest of that dead that he saw is their bodies. Their souls and spirits were alive there with the Lord. And when we die and go to the Lord, it's not when we begin living. No, it's when we begin to enjoy that life in whole and abundance. I have eternal life now. You have it now. But hallelujah, one day when we're with Jesus, we will enjoy the life that we have in abundance. Why? Because all that hinders me from seeing Him will be gone. Praise God. The silver cord, Solomon said, is just loosed, not broken. Or the golden bowl be broken. Do you know gold is an amazing substance? Do you know if you have gold on you, I've got a ring. And by the way, I'm going to tell you, this is my second wedding ring. Jennifer gave me one and I actually lost it. This is my second one and I don't take it off. This gold ring, do you realize I could take that and I could shred it into thousands of just slivers and it go into the ground? And if a man has the right equipment, he can go and get those slivers of gold out of that ground and put it back together and make this ring again just like it is. And see, that body, when the silver cord is loosed, the body is broke. When I see someone grow older, it's not the inner man that's broke. It's the outer man. And that body is laid in the ground and it goes back to the dust. Several years ago when they built Lake Hartwell, there that divides South Carolina and Georgia, my papa told me this story. He said, I remember my daddy telling me when they was backing it up, they had to move churches. Church buildings. And they tried to move some cemeteries. They had some families that had cemeteries and they wanted to move them because the water was going to cover it up when they backed it up. And said, there's a family that dug and got down to where the coffin was, nothing left but just the handles. That's all they found. So they didn't know where to look. Everything just turned back to the dust. And so they just got the handles and moved it to a different spot. But do you realize God has the power, just as that individual would have the power to put this back together? That golden bowl that's broken, God has that power to put it all back together. A man told me once, now, you can't believe that. Brother Ronnie, are you telling me that a man could die at sea and them cast him over into the sea and a shark eat that man and then someone shoot the shark and somebody else eat the shark? Are you telling me that God could put that back together? I said, yeah, I'm saying that. I said, it's God doing it, not me. Do you realize God made the earth? The Bible said in the beginning, God made the heaven and the earth. And he said, let there be light, and there was light. That was before he made the sun. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Before he made the sun, there was light. Now, if God can make light before he even made the sun, I think he's able to put this body back together. What about you? Do you know there in Genesis chapter 15, when God was giving Abraham assurance concerning his seed, he told Abraham to look up and count the stars. And God said, the number of these stars, so shall thy seed be. Oh, I'm an old man. My wife's an old man. This can't be. He counted those stars. He had to count them at night, right? No, he didn't. Read that chapter. It didn't get dark till later in the chapter. Abraham looked up and counted those stars in the daylight hours. And Abraham knew if God is powerful enough to cause those stars to shine so bright that I can count them in the daylight hours, he is able to bless me to have a son who'd have a son who'd have a son, and to my seed be as the stars of heaven. You realize if God is able to make stars shine so bright that I could count them all in the daylight, he's not going to have any problem putting this body back together. No problem whatsoever. And though the golden bowl be broken, that is precious and belongs to God because he paid for it on the cross of Calvary. One day God will put that back together, but when God puts it back together, it'll be better than it was. It's going to be better farther on, because when God puts it back together, it's going to be put back together incorruptible. That means I can't mess it up. Have you ever heard someone say, I'd have took better care of myself if I knew I was going to live this long? You know why they said that? They messed up a lot. Don't raise hands, because I don't want everyone in the church to know how many times you messed up. But how many of you have messed up in your life and you're paying for it right now? You have aches and pains in your body. You wake up in the morning, it's hard to do certain things, and you look back and say, I remember when I hurt myself and I'd done that. I shouldn't have been doing that. And you messed it up. When God puts it back together, you can't mess it up. God's going to put it back together incorruptible, according to the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52 and verse 53. I love that. I can't mess it up. Did I ever tell you the story about my mama when she made that blackberry pie? Mama said it's peach pie, but I remember it's blackberry pie. And mama got the sugar and the salt mixed up. She put salt in it instead of the sugar. My poor brother-in-law went over to take a bite of that pie, and I mean, I noticed he was eating awful slow. So I got me a piece of it, and of course, here, now, I'm not the brother-in-law. I was raised in the house. When I took a bite of it, I was like, wow, I said, that is awful, Mama. I said, you got the salt and the sugar messed up. And Ricky said, boy, I'm glad you took a bite, Ronnie. I thought I was going to eat that whole piece. Well, Bobby got in it, and we began to talk. And, of course, I mean, you start saying something to hurt Mama's feelings in that house, Daddy would get upset. Here comes Daddy in there. What's going on, boys? Why's your mom upset? You know, I told him about the pie. Daddy took a bite of that pie, and he said, thank the Lord, there won't be none of that in heaven. Mama messed up the pie. Aren't you glad when we get to heaven? And soul, body, and spirit, when God puts the body back together, it's put back in such a way you can't mess it up. Or the pitcher be broken at the fountain. When I think about a pitcher, I think about a person who'd go to a well or a place of water, and they'd get their water, take it back to their home. That old pitcher would run out of water and have to go back to the well. How many of you remember wells you had to go and draw the water up out of the well with a bucket and fill up your pitcher and take it to the house? My aunt had one of those when I was a little boy. You know, when I read that, I'm reminded of the children of God here in this world. You know what we do when we go to the Word of God and read the Word of God? We come to the house of God, we're just carrying around a little pitcher, trying to get filled up. Well, the pitcher's running low. I need some help from God. So I go read His Word. And God, He fills up my pitcher again. I come to the house of God, and God, He'll fill up my pitcher again. That'll get me through another couple of days. I've had people ask me, you know, why do you like going to church so much, Brother Ronnie? I said, because I've got an awful small pitcher, and the world drains it out real fast. I need the house of God. I need the Word of God. I carry around my little pitcher. God would just fill it up, and I'd have something to drink. But you know, when the child of God gets to heaven, they just lay the pitcher aside. They won't need it because they'll be in the presence of the fountain of life. Don't need the pitcher anymore. I just cast it aside. See, our dear brothers and sisters in Christ that are passing this life to be the Lord in heaven, they can just take that pitcher and just lay it down. I don't need it anymore. Why? Because I'm in the presence of the living water, my Savior Jesus. David called the Lord in Psalms 36 and verse 9, the fountain of life. Aren't you looking forward to a time you don't have to carry your pitcher around, but you're in the presence of one, and you just drink all you want to. Or the wheel broken at the cistern. That's something that turns and turns and turns. It just keeps on, right? The wheel, you know, when you pass in this life, the wheel stops turning. I remember my daddy said he's looking forward to when his wheel can just stop turning and I can rest. See, when that child of God passes from this life to be with the Lord in glory, the wheel stops turning and I can just be at rest. I love that there in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. When John, he writes to the blessed dead, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. What does that mean? The wheel stopped her. And I can be happy for someone that passed in this life so they can rest. They rest from all the pains and the turmoils. They rest from all the work and the labor associated with this world. Solomon said, look, Rehoboam, or there's a different way to look at this. They finally get to rest. They're resting. And the reason they're able to rest in heaven is they're satisfied. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8. The book of Romans, chapter 8. The Apostle Paul refers to three ways the child of God will be satisfied with the Lord in glory. In verse 19, he said, the earnest expectation, or the hope, that's the same thing as hope, of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. What is that saying? One day I'll be satisfied with me. Me, I can rest. You know, there ain't no Mary Kay businesses in heaven. Ain't no Avon in heaven. No Grecian formula in heaven, nothing else. Why? We look in the mirror, we'll be happy with ourselves. Verse 21, because the creature, same creature, the born-again child of God, shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the children of God. We'll be satisfied with our environment, where we're at. You know, nobody's trying to leave heaven. You know, Disney World's got roads in, but it's got roads out. Why? Because people get tired of being there. No roads out of heaven. They're there, and they're satisfied, and they're resting. The Apostle Paul will go on about our faith and hope in verse 24 and 25. All our longing desire will be satisfied. Where is that? That long home. In that long home. So I see things under the sun. I see people grow older. And I see death. Solomon said, don't look at death. It's so tragic. Look at death as something sweet. It's something to rejoice in. Because that person now, the toils of the road are over. And it's a lot better. Father on. May God richly bless you. Is our prayer.